is the Great Commission? How many have ever heard of the Great Commission? How many could tell me what it is? No volunteers. Look at that. Every hand went up until I asked you, who can tell me? It's just like when you were in school, right? You don't make eye contact with the teacher. Right? Because the moment you do, you're going to get called on. But we know it from the end of Matthew, where it talks about go ye into all the world and preach the gospel.
Right.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? Amen. Teaching them. It's a multi-segment thing. There's multiple things that we need to do here. And we're going to go over to that today. And actually, as I was thinking and preparing this today, we're going to go take a couple weeks to go through this, because I think it's, how many have ever been through a portion of Scripture, and the more you study that, the deeper it got?
Yes.
Right? The more you looked at it, the more you saw, well, maybe it applies over here, or wow, it has an impact over here. In this Great Commission, you think about it, this is something that we've all participated in. Every one of us sitting here today was at one point on the receiving end of the Great Commission. Somebody took that commission seriously and spoke to you.
Amen.
Somebody shared Jesus Christ with you. And, you know, it's good for us every once in a while to remember, at one point we were the ones on the other side of the divide. Mm-hmm. And it was somebody who had a heart for ministry that shared with us. So as we go through this over the next couple of weeks, we're going to go and we're going to really break this down. If you've ever seen a military officer, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, even Coast Guard, when someone becomes an officer in any of the branches of the U.S. military, they receive what's called a commission, which in actuality is an agreement between that person and the President of the United States, whereby the President agrees to delegate some of his authority or her authority to that person receiving the commission. You think about it, that's a weighty, that's pretty deep, that's important. You're, as a commissioned officer, you are receiving some presidential authority to carry out the military mission that you happen to be a part of. As a non-commissioned officer, when I enlisted in the military, I had a contract, and I served in accordance with that contract. And as a non-commissioned officer, I was typically on the receiving end of all the orders of the commissioned officers appointed over me. Sometimes they didn't make a lot of sense, but you know what? It is what it is. You know, right before Christ ascended into heaven, he gave us what we're calling the Great Commission. And this is going to be found today in Matthew 28. You want to go ahead and turn there. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. And I'll give you a little bit of time to get there. Matthew 28, 16 through 20 says, and starting off in verse 16, then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, you may have had a different version. I read from the New Living Translation. It's a good translation. I'd recommend it if you're looking for one. But even in my head, I still do King James. Anytime... A great many times, let's put it that way. A great many times when somebody hears this, what do they immediately think of? Who is this for?
Evangelist.
evangelists or missionaries, right? And we tend to, like in our head, we put this together and we wrap it around the idea that this is for somebody to go somewhere else, right? Cindy and I have good friends. They are missionaries in Lithuania. And they're good friends of ours, a great couple. And it's easy to understand and apply this portion of Scripture to them and other missionaries that we support. If you go downstairs, there is the missions board with the pictures of some of the missionaries and some of the organizations that we support. And we help these people to stay in the mission field. And I would ask you, anytime you think of them, anytime you see their picture, pray for them. Amen. Lift them up in prayer. Because how many have ever been to a foreign land? All right? How many of you would like to live there year after year after year? I got one yes. So, there are some places I wouldn't mind, but you know what? I've said it before and I'll say it again. There's no place like home. But you know what? Lift these people up in prayer. Keep them in your prayer, because what they experience, not only do they have to typically learn a new language, these friends of ours that I just mentioned, Juan and Shirley, they also then have to learn all the traditions and all the customs and how the people of that society interact with one another. I can tell you, having lived in Europe for about a year and a half, that it is not like America. Americans like their space. You know, if I was behind you in the line at the supermarket and I'm this close to you, is anybody going to get nervous? Yeah, because Americans like that bubble, right? We all like that space. It's like, yo, dude, back off, you know? But in Europe where we lived, they are just right up against you, and there's the pushing and the elbowing and the shoving, and it's just part of who they are. You know, so those are the types of things that they got to get to learn and how they have to adapt themselves to that. But is there a possibility that this portion of Scripture applies to more than people that actually move away and leave the United States? Are we just as responsible as they are for spreading the gospel? Amen to that one yes. Are we just as responsible for spreading the gospel?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes, we are. You know, and it might be, and I, you know, I've already mentioned it in prayer. I would ask you, you see those names, you see those faces? There are people literally around the world that are spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are revivals taking place in other countries, other continents. And that message is being spread. You know, as hard as it's becoming to live even as an underground Christian in places like China, the expectation is the number of adherents, the number of believers keeps going up. And historically, as the church has been persecuted, the numbers don't drop. They grow. And that should prove something. If you're willing to serve when it's hard, we should find it easy to serve when it's not hard. So, believing that we have a responsibility, we have a part in that as well. Starting off in verse 16, we're going to break this down verse by verse. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. We don't know when this communication happened. We really don't know which place it was that they went to, but apparently there had been arrangement. Think of the faith. Think of the faith, because I imagine this discussion happened before Christ was crucified. He was already so sure that he was going to rise from the dead. He told these guys, go down to this place and I'll meet you there. And if there's any proof of this, that this was a word from God, the disciples go and Jesus shows up. They came to the same appointed place. In verse 17, when they saw him, they worshipped him. And this is the part I find absolutely amazing. But some of them doubted. This guy's standing here talking to them. Everybody knew he was crucified. Everybody knows he died. And it's after the resurrection, and here he is. He's met them on this mountain, and some people still doubt. You know, it would be easy. It would be easy to get on people like that. But isn't the truth that occasionally we doubt as well?
Absolutely.
And maybe it's not so much doubt, but we forget. We forget who Christ really is. He was not just a man. He was not just a popular guy. He was not just a teacher. He was, is, and always will be God.
Amen.
You know, and I find myself lots of times thinking about this, where these people have gathered and they still doubt it. And you have to wonder, what will it take for some to believe? And I think ultimately it's a sad fact that there will always be some who will not believe. But should that impact, should that stop me from sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ?
No.
Because ultimately the choice to accept or reject is whose? It belongs to the person we're speaking to. It is not our responsibility. How many of you were drafted into the Christian lifestyle?
Almost.
Well, if you were raised in a Christian home, it might have been yes. Okay. Because I can tell you, my dad got saved when I was 13, and from 13 to 18, I can tell you that when the church doors were open, Rod and his six siblings were in church.
Amen.
Didn't matter where, didn't matter when, we were always there. And it seemed like we had been drafted into it as well. And yet, the army of God, the army that God has formed with his body, with people who believe, it's an all-volunteer force.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, you chose to accept his offer of grace.
Amen.
His offer of mercy. And you think about it. What was the alternative? The alternative is if we don't accept him, in essence, we have rejected him, and we've rejected any possibility of spending eternity with him.
Amen. That's true.
If you walk down the street today and you saw your neighbor's house on fire, would you stop and try to give him a warning? Yes or no?
Yes, absolutely.
Folks, people's houses spiritually are on fire. We need to be saying something. We need to be doing something. It is up to us. And as we go through this, we'll develop this and we'll see this. In verse 18, it says, "Then Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth." That's kind of a strange statement. But if you think about it, in verse 18, where he says, I've been given all authority on heaven and on earth. He is now in charge. He is now the ultimate power and authority everywhere and over everything.
Yes,
that is the God we serve. There is no place where his rule can't be found. And if it's in China, if it's in different places around the globe, where the government there is suppressing or trying to suppress the church, God is still in control.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus is still there. And as the legal authority, because he has been given that authority, as the legal authority given to him by the creator of the universe, he now commissions us, as we read in Matthew 28. He now commissions us to go in the power and the authority of his name.
Amen.
When a police officer pulls you over, he is not acting in his own authority. He is not acting in his own name. He is acting in the authority and the power granted him by the laws of the area he lives in. And we, as believers, have now been granted that authority by Jesus Christ. We've been commissioned to go in his name. He has delegated a portion of his authority that was given to him by God Almighty, the Father. He has granted and delegated a portion of that authority to each one of us. to go in his name. You have been empowered, you have been authorized to speak the gospel truth for Christ. And I would say it's probably one of the most critical things we can do in our lifetime. You know, think back, how many people, and I don't know if there's any possible way to count, how many people responded to a salvation message in a Billy Graham crusade? It had to be millions of people. But you know what? Billy Graham was one guy. And his Sunday school teacher is typically credited with leading him in salvation to the Lord. Imagine if that one person hadn't spoken to that one person. How many people's lives further down the line would have been impacted? People, what we do as believers is important.
Amen.
Amen.
Christ did not save us to sit in the pews, or in our case, the chairs, and do nothing and patiently wait for his return. That is not why we got saved. We, according to Scripture and Matthew, have been commissioned. We have had power and authority delegated to us to share the gospel with those who are in need. I say it again, people's houses are on fire. Verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I think Jesus Christ was serious about what he was talking about. I think he absolutely meant everything he said. He said go. Some commentaries will translate where it says, therefore go and make disciples. Some translate that while you are going. Because once again, it's easy to think it's about somebody else going to Africa or to Asia or somewhere else. But the reality is, we have all been called into a missionary work ourselves. Your field just might be where you work. Your field, your missionary field, just might be at the store. You have a knack for just pulling people aside and talking to them. Your field might be walking up and down the sidewalks. Wherever Christ, wherever God has called you to minister, go. Go. And go in his power and in his authority. People, this is a big deal. Mm-hmm. This is a big deal for all of us. Because if someone hadn't come to us, we would not have accepted. Mm-hmm. And that's a horrible place to be. So I would say, follow the scriptures and go. You know, and it's easy to think that these occurrences where Christ is talking to these people here in Matthew, you know, it was over 2,000 years ago. You know, things have changed. We're a lot more advanced now. How many would agree with that statement? But I would like to say this, that we are a part of the same group as that line from those original disciples and respondents. And that line has remained unbroken because someone always went. Someone always shared. And that great commission is why we are sitting here today. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The Great Commission has, we could break it down into two primary portions. The first part being that missionary portion, where Christ tells us to go make disciples of all nations. And in this, he's saying, go conquer the world for me. Carry the good news, the gospel, into all the lands and to every ear. And don't consider this work completed until every nation has embraced the gospel and its people have become Jesus' disciples. When is our work done sharing the gospel? When I no longer draw breath. then I'm done. Until that point, I will do what I can. You know, I had made it a point years ago, and I'll share this with you. I have made it a point, you know what, and pastors aren't, and get and understand the way I say this. God has gifted me with the role of pastor. But that doesn't mean I'm Superman. That doesn't mean I'm special. I'm responsible. You know, I was telling someone this last week. Positions of authority don't come with privileges. They come with responsibilities. And in the church, those of position, those who hold positions, it's not because it's a reward for them being just the absolute best Christian around. It's because God has deemed them fit to serve. You know, officers go through all sorts of exams. They go through all sorts of tests before they receive that commission to serve in the military. Because the last thing you want is an officer who doesn't take his task seriously. Because ultimately, any officer will be in charge of any number of other people. And his ability, his leadership will either lead them to fulfill the task that they have, or his leadership, her leadership, will lead people astray. So this missionary portion in verse 18, go make disciples of all nations, that is still an active role that's ongoing today. Mm. Now, this was not meant, and I think we've all seen this, for those original 11 people, those 11 disciples and any others that might have been there. When Jesus spoke to those few, he was addressing down through time to each one of us.
Amen.
I absolutely believe that. Because there's no date stamp. There's no best used by date on the scripture. There is no place in the scripture that says this is timed out, complete, close it off. He was speaking to us. When Jesus spoke those words, he was addressing everyone who would obey the commission and take up the work of spreading the gospel. After having preached the gospel to these people, to anyone willing to listen, they then were to baptize them into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That seal of approval, as it were, that public commitment that the recipient had accepted salvation through Jesus Christ. You know, that's something I guess we're going to have to look at here, is baptisms for those that were looking for it. You know what? Because some people will look at baptism and say, you know what, it's one of those optional things. I beg to differ.
Amen.
If scripture is, as the amount of scripture is abundantly clear, as much as there is, that baptism after salvation is, folks, it's something we need to do.
Amen.
It is something we need to do. Because it's that public statement whereby you stand up and you say, I hereby declare, raising my right hand, that I am now a believer in Jesus Christ. I am now signifying by going under the water the death of the old person and the resurrection of the new. Amen. None of us are like what we used to be, right?
Thanks.
How many of you would say you're better off now than what you used to be? Is your life
Amen.
Better now than what it used to be?
Amen.
Are you a better person than you used to be? That is because of that salvation moment each one of us has gone through. That is because the scripture says the old man passes away. Behold, all things become new.
Yeah.
How many of you are glad you're not the person you used to be?
Amen.
Amen to that. I tell you, there might have been a fight up in here for all I know. But you know what? None of us are who we used to be. And none of us are who we will eventually be either. Because one day, this old broken down body that's hurting, I have moved more boxes. Everything hurts. Cindy's in the same place. One day it won't hurt.
Amen.
And I am looking forward to that.
Amen.
You know, right now I've got the hymn, What a Day That'll Be, playing in my head. The second portion of this commission is the pastoral position. Teach them, teach these new baptized members of the body of Christ to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Has anyone here ever mentored another believer, a younger believer? That is a critical skill set that I think the church has not utilized enough. As mature believers, we need to be reaching out to those that are just getting their feet wet, figuratively. We need to reach out and show them how to walk in Christ, moment by moment, day by day. Because if we don't show them the right way to go, the world will show them the wrong way. And it won't be long till that little tender plant, that bud, dies. And we know the parable that Christ spoke. It sprung up, it grew, and then there was no depth to it, and it died. That is what we risk when we mature believers don't share our experiences. You have a testimony. All the good things, all the bad things in your life make up your testimony. I think I shared last week, I have backslid my life years ago. And it's a horrible place for a believer to be.
Amen.
Because you know better.
Amen.
You know better. But thank God, Scripture says he's married to the backslider. He is always there. And his hands are always extended, waiting to take you back. You're never alone. Amen? How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. You know, as we read this, we can imagine those words of if Jesus spoke them to us, and yet, guess what? He did. He did in the scriptures that we have written down. Those words are the words of Christ being spoke to us. He has tasked us, and it is up to us to volunteer to go. And in the latter portion of verse 20, Jesus has also encouraged us through his word to fulfill the commission. All power in heaven has been given to him. All the power over all persons, passions, principles, and all movements. Bend them to this one high object, the evangelization of the world. All this is given unto me, as the risen Lord of all, to be by me placed at your command. Therefore go. And in addition to that, the promise of help whenever we need it. And lo, I am with you always. Not only in the good times, and not here, not there, but always, every day without interruption, to the end of the world. You know, earlier I talked about U.S. military commissioning, and I wanted to read this oath to you. This is the oath that Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, when you become a commissioned officer, this is one of the oaths that they use. It says, I, and then you state your name, and of course everybody knows the gag, everybody says state your name. I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I'm about to enter. So help me God. That's a pretty solemn oath. And when I enlisted, it was something along that line. And I got to thinking, you know, that oath is a not, you know, when we became Christians, none of us took an oath. Right? You didn't join a clique. You didn't join a party. You became a Christian. You became part of the body of Jesus Christ. None of us took an oath. And yet, as I read through this oath, what it is saying seemed to apply so much to what I, as a believer, felt when I accepted Christ and what I feel when I consider the work that He's asked me to do. This oath has several distinct parts. It identifies the source that constitutes and imparts the authority for the oath, the Constitution of the United States, that you will then be true to those authorities, that I'm not being forced to participate as I'm doing this of my own free will, and that I will be faithful to the calling. So help you God. Those sound like good things for a believer as well, right? Only the authority is not the Constitution of the United States for a believer. It is the written holy word of God Almighty. That is to what I need to be true. And it is Jesus Christ who has now delegated a portion of His authority to me. And as a believer, I need to take that seriously. No one forced me to become a Christian, and no one can force me not to be a believer as well. Keith Green once said that this generation of believers is responsible to reach this generation of unbelievers for Jesus Christ. And I absolutely agree with him. This generation of believers, for each one of us sitting here today, it is our responsibility, first and foremost, to live a life worthy of the calling of Jesus Christ. Amen. To live a life that is a testimony of Christ. And especially, you know, growing up, I moved around a lot. I think I've counted, I moved like 18 times. I had 4 high schools, to give you an idea. And that I had one of them for 2 years, so 3 high schools in 2 years. I don't have the benefit of having grown up with the same group of people around. And some people would say, well, that's, trust me, you don't want it either, because it's a bad thing, because they know all the good and they know all the bad. Exactly. When you accepted Christ, when your life changed, you now are no longer that person.
Amen.
Before. And when people you know that have known you for a time can look at you and say, hey, how come you don't do this no more? How come you're not like this anymore? Let me tell you. We talked about this before. That's that open door, right? Yes. When you see the door swing open, walk through.
Amen.
When you see an opportunity to share the love of Jesus Christ with somebody whose house is on fire, do it. What do you got to lose?
No.
Really, what do you got to lose? They may laugh at you. Mm-hmm. We're all adults. I'll get over it. Mm-hmm. They may tell me no. That's their choice. But you've done your part. Mm-hmm. You've gone to the mission field. You've sown that seed where God has sent you. You've done what He asked you to do. You have fulfilled the commission you accepted when we accepted Jesus Christ. Folks, there's a lot more to living as a Christian in this world than just doing it on Sunday.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Being a Christian isn't a set of clothes I take out of the closet on Sunday and put on and walk through the door. And when I get home, they go back in the closet till the following Sunday. That's not what living a Christian life is like. That's not what it's supposed to be. Living true to the call, living true to the commission, is an all-day, every-day, 24/365 lifestyle. And it's one that we accepted when we accepted Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's all work and no play, because I can tell you, as a believer, I have a far better life. I have a far more enjoyable life than I ever had before.
Amen. Amen.
I'll share one last thing. I'm an absolute believer in being as transparent as I can. Because my life story, my testimony might help someone else. Years ago, I had, on my second deployment, as distinctly as I can remember God ever speaking to me, impressing me, He had told me to speak to this young man that was part of our deployment. We were going overseas. And being a Marine, we go on ship. And I can distinctly remember it, telling God, you know what? This is just a 2-week workup. We go out for 2 weeks, make sure everything works, come back, and then you go away for months. And I said, you know what? When we're out and we're gone for those months, he'll have nowhere to go. I'll talk to him then. We came home from our 2-week deployment, and between that time, which was the end of December, and January 21st, when we departed for 8 months, he was killed in an auto accident. I might have been the last person tasked with speaking to him. I know the scriptures tell me that every person is responsible for their own salvation. But knowing that there could have been an assurance that he was ready to go when his time came. And then knowing that I might have taken that from him. Let me tell you something. It is not something you want on your conscience. What we do is serious.
Amen.
Because this lifetime is compared to eternity. Where will you spend eternity? Is it going to be heaven? Is it going to be hell? There are only two choices. And if I'm walking down the street and I see my neighbor's house on fire, I have decided I will do what I can to ensure he does not burn. And that is the same commission to which we have all been called today. I know this sounds heavy, but think about it. How many have ever led someone to Christ? You've actually walked them through the process and you've done it. There is no greater joy than knowing someone bound for being lost for eternity is now a part of the body, is part of the group that will one day spend eternity with Jesus Christ. There is no greater joy. And I would say today as I close, live a life worthy of the calling of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know what? You're going to make mistakes. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have down days. But that's why there's grace and mercy. When those things happen, you know, Scripture tells me there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Christ is not sitting in heaven with a big old hammer playing whack-a-mole with you when you make a mistake. He loves you, and he is waiting for you just to come to him and say, I'm sorry. And then the release, and then the grace, and then the love that just sweeps over you. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. So in closing today, I'd ask you this week, consider your commission. Matthew 28. Consider your commission. Consider what you've been called to do. Consider what you've been called to be. And then consider what you can do to fulfill the commission that we accept. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, You gave us the privilege. You have delegated some of your authority, your power. You have said that you would be there for us, no matter where we're at, no matter when. You have afforded us the privilege of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have afforded us the opportunity to share the love that we experience with people who might not know, have might not ever experience true love. And Lord, today, I pray for my brothers and sisters sitting here and those I might be reaching, Lord, over social media. I pray for each one, that each one would be empowered, each one would find the courage and the boldness to step up, accept the commission, and to move out. Help us, Lord, to fulfill the call that you placed on each one of us. That call might take us around the world. That call might take us down on Main Street. Wherever you call us, wherever you ask us to go, Lord, let us go willingly. Let us go, Lord, energetically, Father. Let us go knowing that we might save someone whose house is on fire. And Lord, help us to share. Help us to be ready, Lord. When the time comes, when the door opens, to be that light in a dark world. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name today. Amen and amen. God bless you each one. Like I said, consider